Every year, the Library of Congress chooses 25 recordings to honor and preserve. Sometimes they're seminal record albums, like Loretta Lynn's. Or comedy, like Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner's 2,000-Year-Old Man.
Could you give us the secret of your longevity?
Well, the major thing is that I never, ever touch fried food.
One of the National Recording Registry picks this year is a radio play from 1943. It's called Sorry Wrong Number. It became a movie a few years later, starring Barbara Stanwyck and Burt Lancaster. The radio play, starring Agnes Moorehead, was written by Lucille Fletcher. It really terrified audiences at the time and became a milestone in radio history. Fletcher died at age 88 in 2000, so to tell the story of the recording of that play, we've got an especially devoted listener.
My name is Dorothy Herman. I'm Lucille Fletcher's older daughter.
And a scholar.
My name is Steve Darnall. I'm a radio historian and the host of two weekly radio shows devoted to that period known as the Golden Age of Radio.
Radio was very important to me. I used to listen to it all the time. And so as a child, I listened to The Shadow.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
I listened to Inner Sanctum, which just it shivers up and down my spine.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host to welcome you in through the squeaking door to another half hour of horror.
Suspense was an anthology show that ran on CBS Radio from 1942 until the very end of the Golden Age of Radio in the fall of 1962. I think the narrator of Suspense very early on in the show's run said it was about presenting a precarious situation and then withholding the solution until the last possible moment.
And so it is with Sorry, Wrong Number and the performance of Agnes Moorehead. We again hope to keep you in suspense.
And so the story begins with the main character, Mrs. Elbert Stevenson, trying to reach her husband on the telephone. She's an invalid, so she can't leave her bedroom.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 70093 now for the last three quarters of an hour, and the line is always busy. I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I will be glad to try that number for you. One moment, please.
And she overhears two gentlemen plotting this murder on the telephone.
Our client wishes it to look like simple robbery.
Now don't worry. Everything is going to be okay.
All right, then. Be sure to...
Oh, how awful. How unspeakably awful.
And the entire show is based around the hysteria of the main character.
They were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge, and we've got to stop them. We've got to...
What number were you calling, please?
Well, that doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it for me, and we've got to find out what it was immediately.
What number did you call?
Oh, why are you so stupid?
Lucille Fletcher, who wrote the script, wrote Mrs. Stevenson as, frankly, not a terribly likable woman.
My mother came from a working-class family in Brooklyn, and she won a scholarship to Vassar College. And as a poor scholarship student, she felt that these very rich girls who came to school in their limousines, she felt that they snubbed her. And to make matters worse, she had a boyfriend who was an upper-class young man who was studying at Dartmouth, and he had a mother who was very much like Mrs. Stevenson, and she looked down on my mother, and this made my mother very miserable. So I think that she was taking a revenge on a lot of people in her radio play.
Now, I want to trace that call. It's my civic duty, it's your civic duty to trace that call and apprehend those dangerous killers, and if you won't...
I will connect you with the chief operator.
Please!
There is what would appear to be a fairly mundane sound effect, which is the picking up and dialing of a telephone. The sound people, they had to perform their tasks by listening to Agnes Moorhead.
Oh, dear.
And as she got increasingly agitated and panicked, they had to change the manner in which they picked up and dialed the telephone. Mrs. Stevenson becomes aware that the murder she overheard being plotted is her own murder. And so by the end of the story, when she's in an absolute state of terror, you can hear that in the way the phone is being dialed.
I can hear him. He's coming near.
When she's attacked in her bedroom, Agnes Moorhead screams. And she worked it out so that her scream would be the exact pitch of the whistle of the train that was going by her home. I think it was one of the first times that someone had had the audacity to go on radio, this national network, and present a story in which the killers get away.
I think my mother took delight in the end of Mrs. Stevenson, that she's trapped by her own invalidism and her own neuroticism, and also the fact that nobody will believe her.
It was a brutal message to send to radio audiences in 1943, which is sometimes people simply get murdered. And the police cannot stop it.
Police Department, Martin speaking.
Oh, Police Department?
Police Department.
I'm sorry, must have got the wrong number. Don't worry, everything's okay.
Our story was produced by Devin Strolovich for BMP Audio.